All right, I'm back with Mark, and we're going to talk today about some of the parables of Jesus and what Jesus was doing with these parables, what he was trying to do to the minds of those who listen and take them seriously. We want to focus on a couple that we thought were special to us and were probably pretty common, despite on your level of experience with the Bible. We're going to talk about the prodigal son first, and we'll read it. Let's read through it together. I'm going to read from Luke 15. I'm going to start in verse 11, and we'll read it and talk about it.
Okay.
All right, Luke 15, 11. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." We're going to stop there for a minute.
What a great story.
It is.
But like you said, it has certain spiritual points, doesn't it?
So what's the points?
Yeah. Well, you have a son who is apparently part of his father's household, of course, and they are, it seems that they are pretty well off. The father has servants that hired men that work for him. So this is a big operation, and it's a prosperous operation, you would think. Now the son is not content. He wants to break away, and he thinks he deserves to receive a portion of the company or the business. And he requests that so that he can go and be his own man. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a big mistake, and it points toward us when we take our lives into our own hands without regard to God. We don't recognize the blessings that He's given us. We don't see all the goodness that we really have. We see our cup half empty. So we take it upon ourselves to make things better for ourselves. We can do better mm-hmm. than what God has done for us. Now the father, I think it's interesting, who represents God, the father, gives him this big chunk of the business mm-hmm. that is assigned to the son. That's kind of strange, I think.
It reminds me, it makes me think of the saying, like, having your cake and eating it too. Because he wants out of the father's house. You know, like he wants to get out of the father's house, like out from under his rule, maybe, or out from under his household. Oh, and by the way, I want everything that you're going to give me when you die. You know, like it's not like he just left and ran away. Like he wanted to leave and be out from the father's house, and he wanted his inheritance.
Yes.
And it just makes me think of people who want like that blessed life, like we talked about in the Beatitudes. They want to live that life of favor. Oh, and by the way, I don't want to live it under God's rule. I want to live it under my own rule. Mm-hmm. You know, you're wanting both. You know, you want to do what you want outside of the Father's rule, and you want to experience the life of blessing that He wants to give you, or that you were created to crave. You know, like His blessed life. Mm-hmm.
And think about it, the world gives you plenty of visuals out there, a lot of glitz, a lot of glamour, a lot of worldly status, and the grass maybe seems greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes for us.
Yeah, and...
But what's amazing is that the Father grants him his inheritance. I think that's a father that's full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it, but I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And what the young son lacks is, because he had the inheritance, you know, what he lacked, what he needed to have that good, successful life was living in his father's house, because that's the only thing that's been removed and that caused him to wind up with the pigs craving their food, because nobody will give him anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the factor that's been removed, is living in the father's house. Even with all of your inheritance, wherever you want to spend it and live with it, outside of the father's house, it leads to...
Yeah, it would be like us with all of the blessings that we have, and you could say we have the blessing of health, we have the blessing of strength, maybe, we have the blessing of appreciation for certain things. So we go out on our own, and we don't understand, maybe, the reality of what it took to bestow, to build up those blessings, to continue to have those blessings and for them to increase, because he wastes the money on things that are not wise.
Mm-hmm.
But the Father has given it to him, and I think the Father knows that he's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But if he were to refuse the son what the son requested, maybe he would lose the son forever.
Yeah.
If the son just said, "I'm through with you, I'm never coming back," perhaps he had the wisdom to allow the son to crash and burn. Tough love, come back, and find humility and understanding.
Mm-hmm. And what a level of, what a different way to think about discipline, you know, where it's like, it's not reprimanding or reacting to the son in a way that's like capable of cutting off ties. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I mean, What an incredible way of disciplining a child that you love.
Really, in this whole parable, the father never is judgmental and reprimanding and rigid. He's loving throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. It gives us a message about God.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
His true nature, what God wants to be like for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Okay, let's keep going in verse 25. Let's pick up some details on the older brother.
Okay.
We'll bring them back together. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father's killed the fattened calf, because he's received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, when he came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found."
Mm. Wow, the father is celebrating this in joy, receiving his son back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the older son is jealous, I guess, because in his mind, he's done the right things. And the younger son has been a fool, but has been received back with a robe, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, a fattened calf with celebration. And it's like the younger son is being rewarded for his foolishness when the father is really celebrating his return and his change of heart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really speaks to just the nature of attitude that we have towards one another. You know, if we don't have ourselves become more and more transformed through the teaching of Jesus, mm-hmm. like how this is kind of the heart that we find ourselves with.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, it would be so easy for us to look down on other people who have really failed and given up on things that we believe, the righteous things that we believe in, and they went off and lived a worldly life, and they come back, and maybe that person has hurt us in some way because we had hopes for them and they let us down. But here they are back and they're in really bad shape. They've learned a lesson, and we have the opportunity to give God's grace and his forgiveness. But we just look at the person and say,
we attribute value to them when we should see all as valuable as we are, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. and to think someone would be of less value or is of less value in God's kingdom.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the heart of God's kingdom citizens. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. That is a great point. I mean, we are all different people that come to God. There is not one person who is of greater value than anyone else,
mm-hmm.
From, you know, the leaders to the groundskeeper to the person who just shakes hands of people that come in and mm-hmm. greets them and encourages them, you know, with a smile. All the people are of value to God.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it would have changed a little bit for the older son, the older brother, if he would have, like, went and talked to his younger brother before he made a judgment about how yeah. ridiculous this was for yeah. his dad to be doing this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it probably could have helped some things, helped his attitude if he would have, like, really went and connected with his brother and embraced him in love and started there instead of just looking upon his brother with jealousy and contempt, and then making, you know, rash accusations against the father. And
so kind of a self promotion. Look what I do. To the detriment or the lack of consideration for anybody else. You know, it's really thinking highly of oneself and elevating oneself, which I think Jesus talks, you know, teaches against so often. We've been given gifts. We've given ourselves to the Lord. We use what we have to give God glory, and we welcome everyone else to do whatever they can do also. Even in times of trial and failure, we try to help people to learn from that and to correct their hearts and to give themselves wholly to the Lord with their ability to do so.
One of my favorite details is how ready the father was for the son to come back. Because the son starts and says in verse 18, like, I'm gonna arise and go to my father, and this is what I'm gonna say to him. I'm gonna say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And so then he goes to his dad, and this is what he actually says. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father cuts him off. He doesn't get to say, treat me as one of your hired servants. Like the father doesn't let him get there. But as soon as he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but the father said to his servants, you know, bring out the good things for him. Just we want to wallow, and I think God just wants us to repent, to turn to him, and, you know, like, experience the good things he has to offer. Don't spend too much time, like, just wallowing in, you know, the disgusting animals you found yourself around. We're out of that. We're past that.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming home.
Yeah. And also, I think the attitude of the young son now is the correct attitude to have. The humility, the fact that he's willing to be a servant because he's unworthy. Mm-hmm. He's unworthy to receive all these blessings that he could have. So he is willing to give up his precious pride and thoughts of importance and be a humble servant for the father's business, to contribute and to be a humble person in doing so. And this is the goal of the father from the very beginning, I think. Allow the son to figure out that he's better off here, and that he was and to learn from his arrogance, and to learn to be humble and to be of service in his life.
There's a book called The Prodigal Prophet that talks about Jonah and compares him to these two sons. And I thought it was just an interesting observation that, you know, Jonah, and he's called to be a prophet, and God has a message for him to take to Nineveh, and Jonah refuses to go. He doesn't want to do that, and so he runs away, goes out into a far country, you know, finds himself in the middle of a storm, thrown into the water and then swallowed by a fish. It's kind of the same story arc as the younger prodigal son.
Yeah, it is.
The God, Jonah prays to God, and the fish spits him out. And God tells him a second time, go to the people of Nineveh and tell them to repent. And then he becomes the older son, where he goes. He agrees to go, but presents I don't know how true Jonah is, to that actual sermon that Jonah was giving, but not that compelling of a sermon. But it was. God used it in a way that was compelling and changed the hearts of Nineveh. And he just reenacts this older son, angry, and upset with the father's gracious and lavish treatment towards people he didn't think had as much value as he thought they should have to earn this from the father.
He didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. He didn't want to uplift them spiritually. Mm-hmm. They were repulsive to him.
Yeah.
But God saw potential. Jonah didn't want to see the potential of their souls.
Yeah. It's always fitting to celebrate and be glad when a brother was dead and is alive, or was lost and is found.
And we're all rejoicing. We should all rejoice when someone comes to the Lord, because the soul is of such great value, and it's God-given. And something from God like that, a gift from God, is very worthy. We don't deserve his gifts. We don't deserve to have a royal robe on and the ring of a king, or sandals to comfort our feet, the comfortable shoes, sandals, and but when we come to God, he forgives, he lifts us up, he gives us rest from our turmoil, so that we are blessed and we are at peace and we live in his love and grace. And we should just value that so much. So value that he would regard us enough to give us the greatest gifts of all, his son Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think implied in this is that living in the Father's household in a way that pleases him requires love and value for all of his children.
Mm. Yeah.
The same amount of love and value across the board for anyone who's his child. Mm-hmm.
So the older son has something to learn too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's another story, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that is half of the story, is for those who have kept all the commandments and saved many years and feel like, we're being overlooked, or like, why other servants who haven't been as faithful for as long seem more celebrated or more, mm-hmm. like they seem more valuable. Like I'm attributing to them more value than others. And again, it's just getting things out of whack,
Yeah.
Whether you're attributing too much or too little value.
But you are of great value. Every single child of God is of huge value, and we can learn that through Scripture.
Yeah.
Through his guidance. But yeah, there's going to be a huge celebration for the person who finds his way mm-hmm. to God. Yeah, we should value that state of being and that salvation and always be grateful and thankful and appreciative of it. Just be joyous over it. Not lose our hope, not lose our joy, and not lose our gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, it is love God and love your neighbor or your brother as yourself. You know, like we have to love God in a way like we desire to have him as Lord, to live in his household, under his rule and under his governance. But we also have to love our brothers as ourselves. You know, this is kind of tying together a lot of the things we've talked about so far. You have to love your brother as yourself, because if not, then that's as displeasing to the Father as taking his inheritance and squandering it.
Exactly. Yeah, Jesus talks about the greatest in the kingdom are those who humble themselves and lower themselves and serve the others. Mm-hmm. Those are the greatest ones in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he would have been a great, great son had he welcomed his younger brother back and encouraged the younger brother.
And that is Jesus. That is what Jesus would have done as the other brother. He would have embraced the brother like he does each of us, who he calls brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, absolutely. I think it's a beautiful thing to like just try to picture is how would Jesus, as a son of the Father, done what was right, kept all the commands, served many, many years, but have a heart of compassion and of love for us, you know? Mm-hmm.
And what blessing would have resulted from the older son loving and giving grace and promoting the kingdom or promoting that business? What could have happened as a result? There could have been just an explosion of blessing and of goodness that could have resulted, rather than there being disharmony being brought into it.
And then I'll transfer that and apply that to the world today, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we could really live in a way that, like, lived in this kingdom value out instead of all the other options, like kingdom values that the world offers. Like if we lived this out, if we were a brother who didn't see this life as like a zero sum game and just wanted to love and extend and grow this kingdom, but the world continues to choose, a different economy, a different way of living. Yeah.
But this economy, in this economy, the older brother gives up something, it seems like, but he's not truly. He's giving up his pride. He's giving up his honor, maybe, he feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But if he were to humble himself, then the kingdom is expanded and glorified and benefited.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, next time we'll talk about one more parable. The parable of the talents, parable of the 10 minas. And just to kind of look a little bit more into like this kingdom economy and like all the goodness that's going around. Like, is there enough to go around? Is it a zero-sum game where for me to get more, you have to lose some, and
yeah.
We'll talk more about that.
Super.